This week on Pop of Culture, sisters are doing it for themselves.
Now, I'm not trying to be rich. I just want to provide a space where people can come and socialize and, you know, and grow.
A person saying, hey, I work in my studio and it's my living room and da-da-da and I have this hurt. But the thing about it is, how do you buy it? Where can I find it?
We talked to two longtime local arts contributors in their second act. Coming up.
Pop of Culture on IPR is made possible in part by Psi Iota Xi. Additional support comes from the Indiana Arts Commission, the Community Foundation of Randolph County, the National Endowment for the Arts, and sustaining members of IPR. You can support local programming today at indianapublicradio.org.
From IPR, this is Pop of Culture. I'm Michelle Kinsey.
And I'm Kara Duquette. Today on our show, we hear from two women improving our local art scene after already fulfilling careers.
If you've been in Muncie for a while, you remember FB Fogg. Later this hour, we'll talk to owner Ann Johnson. But first, there is a new community center rising up in Muncie, and here to talk about it is Akila Nosakare. Akila, thank you so much for joining us at Pop of Culture.
Well, thank you, Michelle. It's wonderful to be here.
I am so excited to learn more about Art Rise, the new community center. Akila, tell me a little bit about how Art Rise came to be.
Well, I had no plans of, you know, doing this. Mm-hmm. I retired, as you know, last February.
Yes.
And 6 months before that, my sister had invited me to accompany her to look at some property. And we were over on MLK, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. And, you know, there's Jack's Appliance Building. Everybody knows that
yes.
building because
mm-hmm.
we bought a refrigerator, washer, dryer, whatever from Jack's over the years.
Yes.
You know, our families have. And it's such a cute little building, and it was for sale. And I said, oh, the price is good. I think I want that. And then all of a sudden, I start thinking about, you know, all my books that are, some of them are still in boxes from when I moved from New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, I could bring those in here. You know, and I said, oh, and I have all of these instruments and things that I have been collecting all
yeah.
these years. And I thought, why have I been collecting and doing all this all my life? And I guess all of this kind of bubbled up in me. And I said, oh, I guess, you know, I'm supposed to do this.
Yeah.
And I love the building. It's a wonderful little building. There are two rooms right now. And the first room is ready to
yeah,
be used
really
by the community.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah, you were there.
Yeah.
And when Kwanzaa came around December 26th, mm-hmm. the day after Christmas, when everybody just wanted to stay at home and play with their toys or
mm-hmm.
whatever, I said, oh, I want to do a soft open mm-hmm. on that day because I've always celebrated Kwanzaa,
mm-hmm.
and I adhere to the principles. I work very hard. There's seven principles, and I think the most important one for me is cooperative economics.
Mm-hmm.
We have to support each other.
Yes.
And so I said, well, this is a great way for me to begin to do that and provide a service for folks to have a place that's inexpensive but nice for family gatherings, for mm-hmm. children's parties, and just about, you know, jazz parties, because that's what really I'm really waiting
oh,
on those jazz
same.
Parties.
Yeah. As soon as I saw the stage, I was like, oh.
Yeah, man.
I think there's music coming.
Yeah, there's music coming. And I said, well, how am I going to support myself now that I've retired? Duh. What are you going to do now? You bought this big building. You don't have any more money left.
And let's just say you were retired for a minute. Like, what? Like one
for
minute.
For 1 minute.
We should let her, if you do not know, Akila was the director of the Muncie Public Library.
Yes.
And retired and then immediately pretty much jumped into something
to
else.
To something else. So I don't know what kind of came over me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love my community and I love Muncie. And I have this passion for providing access to African American history and culture because
yeah.
we need that
yes.
here in the, you know, in the Muncie area. And then when you see that it's under attack nationally, so hey, just call it as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so important that we teach our children.
Yes.
And our adults and the parents and the grandparents and me too, mm-hmm. about our history, because it's ongoing. And it gives us such courage and really strengthens us as yes. people so that we can contribute to the larger society. You know, to be a pro-African is mm-hmm. not to be anti-anything else.
Right.
You know? But you have to have confidence mm-hmm. and you have to be compassionate at the same time mm-hmm. for others. So that's what I'm hoping to provide.
And I think at the open house that you were referring to, Akila, the thing that I noticed right away was such an overwhelming sense of support. Talk about how you felt when the doors opened and people started coming in to your center.
Well, I was just happy that the people came out, being that it's such a family day, because that's what I want it to be, a family center. Mm-hmm. So folks can just walk in, and eventually we'll have like a screen for TV, or we'll have nights where they could do karaoke mm-hmm. and we'll have poetry nights, you know. So it's just so much going on. And then when people came out, I said, oh, I'm going to run out of chairs.
Yes.
But we had enough. We had yeah. enough. Yeah. Yeah. And lots of gifts for everyone, because on that first night of Kwanzaa, you make sure that every child and every adult gets something.
Oh.
So it was great. Yeah.
And I think the gift for most of the people that came out for the open house was the gift of somewhere to gather, mm-hmm. somewhere to be. And as you said, somewhere to learn.
Somewhere to learn.
Ongoing, lifelong learning.
Right, yeah. And to socialize with mm-hmm. those, you know, in your community and outside of your community.
Yeah. So talk about some of the things that you already have planned or ideas that are formulating for 2025 as the center kind of figures out its next steps.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've learned not to release all of my ideas. But the one thing I'd love to do, we're going to do jazz.
Yes.
Jazz night. And the stage, I was thinking of like youth bands, you know, the little garage bands. They need a place to rehearse,
yes,
you know. And I said, well, they can come and we'll come up with a fee for them, you mm-hmm. know, just for that age group to come in and rehearse and then pay for that electricity too. That's gonna be
sure.
So I was thinking it would be a place for that. I've got ideas for getting coffee and donuts there in the mornings for those folks who will be going up and down the street, mm-hmm. you know, to work at
yes.
the Muncie Sanitary District. Mm-hmm. So those are the types of things. They're all people-based,
yes.
social.
Yes.
You know, I'm not trying to be rich. I just want to provide a space where people can come and socialize and, you know, and grow mm-hmm. and continue to grow.
Absolutely.
And I remember, like, last year there was a elderly gentleman who was in his 90s, and everyone knew him because, you know, he lived in Muncie a long time, and he worked at the factories, and so he had lots of friends around. They say he would drive up and down the street because he was just bored. Most of his friends, you know, age mates were gone.
Yeah.
But he wanted something to do. And he just would drive up and down the street. And it kind of touched my heart, you know. And I said, you know, active seniors need a place on the east side
yes.
of town.
Mm-hmm. And we should say, if you're looking for it, it's spelled ARTRIZE.
Mm-hmm.
One word, right?
One word.
Yes, one
mm-hmm.
word. I do know that there is an event coming up in February.
Yeah.
So, and speaking of seniors and those who are looking for something to do, tell
yes.
me a little bit about that.
Well, the lady who provided our catering,
mm-hmm.
we met in class, you know,
oh.
entrepreneurial class at mm-hmm. Ivy Tech. And so, you know, we've just got to be friends. And I said, well, Felicia, can you cater my place? Yes, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And then I found out that she leads line dancing for the YWCA on Thursday
oh, wow.
nights. And I said, well, that's great. She said, well, I can do that for you too. I said, okay, good. So we're planning it for the afternoon
nice.
On February 6th. And we're asking folks to come out and join Felicia as she leads them in line dancing. And it's just the first of many activities that we hope to plan for the seniors.
Yeah. But that'll be at 2 p.m.?
Yes, right? 2 p.m. Yeah. Okay. And Art Rise is located at 1600 North Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Great. Mm-hmm. And what if people have maybe some things that they want to do at the center, or they want to know what's going on at the center, what should they do?
Well, they could call.
Yeah.
And the number is 765-356-3700.
Awesome. And I know mm-hmm. you are posting events and those types of things on Facebook as yes. well.
And yeah, I'm so working with a vendor now to get my website and my logo and all of that. Mm-hmm. It's like I put the cart before the horse when it came to doing a business. I'm doing everything like, now.
We're just getting people in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we're just getting them
which
in there.
Which is awesome.
Put the music yeah, on. Let's have a good right. time.
Well, we certainly look forward to hearing about all the things that Art Rise has planned for the community in 2025.
Oh, thank you, Michelle. And thank you for this opportunity to tell the community about it. Because, you know, hey, call me if you got good ideas right. and you want to plan something. Hey, let's work it out.
Akilah Nosakare is the owner of Art Rise on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Muncie. I'm Michelle Kinsey.
And I'm Kara Duquette. We're joined in studio by Ann Johnson. She is a lifelong artist, and Anne helped put Muncie on the map with her former company, FB Fog. And we are just really delighted to have you here with us today, Anne.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here. I'm so proud of Pop of Culture. We need this. We need this, yes.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. We enjoy doing it. Could you tell us a little bit about how you first became connected to the Muncie art scene, or kind of made the Muncie art scene?
Well, long before you were born, I came to Muncie in 1967 with my husband and two small children. At that time, we didn't have Pampers. I had a lot of cotton diapers, and that created a lot of nice white cotton lint in my dryer. Which made me think, hey, don't throw this away. This is great, beautiful stuff. So what I did is I took the lint from my dryer and I attempted to make some handmade paper. Yes, I thought I was going to paint on it. I discovered that I had made a gooey mess and that it worked better for sculpture. So I began sculpting things. It was an interesting time in my life. I was a single woman. Feminism was just in the wind. Men didn't have to support the women they walked away from. It was either do or die. And so I knew that these things had to become something. I fortunately did have a teaching license. And as I will tell people, teaching has been my life. So I began to teach probably in every school in the Muncie community and Delaware County also. And as I carried clay to one room and water to another, I knew that there was wonderful white lint waiting for me at home and sculpture to be made. I started with a cow clock. Fortunately, that cow clock was sent to Washington, and a friend of mine was getting married at the Ritz-Carlton, and everybody fell in love with this crazy sculptured head of a cow with a tongue that went back and forth, and the hands were the feelers. So, of course, I got 60 orders. Now, that started me. I immediately said, let's use my students and let's start sculpting clocks. And if a cow is good, a pig is better, and a dog is great. So we were off and running. That kind of started my art life in Muncie. At that time, it was being done on my kitchen table on the White River. And finally, it grew into my family room and into my kids' bedrooms and eked out of the garage, and UPS was picking up clocks right and left. And we decided, yep, let's move downtown. So I began a search for a studio downtown where I found the old men's club. It was created by Earl Meeks, and it was a building that had no windows. That studio brought other artists to downtown Muncie. Every Saturday, I would have a salon and invite other artists to show within my... It was kind of a shop, kind of a workroom. We would create clocks in the back room and in the front. I would bring things back from my travels. And we filled it kind of as a shop. You would be taken to another world because, of course, as I said, there was no windows. So when you walked in, the world of fog would envelop you. But anyway, the art scene at that time in downtown Muncie was ripe to do something. We have been so fortunate always in this area because we are heavy, heavy in really talented people, whether they be poets, writers, musicians, or, of course, the visual arts.
It's true.
I wanted to make a space for the visual arts. And so FB Fog became that space. I became known as the Lint Lady of Muncie and traveled the continent, been to 44% of the world with my clocks, and I've had an excellent life in doing that. However, I find in retirement, I don't stop needing to keep pushing the arts in downtown Muncie. And that's what I'm into now.
Mm-hmm. I have so many questions. Were there more than just clocks at Fog? That's one of my questions.
Yes. Of course, you know, once you start something, one thing creates another. And you'll find that almost with all artists, it leads them to different things. I went so far as making life-size figures. And as I walked into your studios this morning, I saw the Bob Ross. That kind of figure is not foreign to me. The huge figures that we did for Money of the Malls, the Mall of America, the IDS building in downtown Minneapolis, Dallas, et cetera, et cetera. Las Vegas. In fact, I was just in Las Vegas last week checking out my sculpture in the Forum Mall, and it's alive and well, which is good for me to see that, you know, we're talking 25, 30 years hence.
Wow. I have to ask, okay, as a visual artist myself, and I've used dryer lint to make paper, did you continue with the dryer lint in the sculpture throughout?
Well, one of the things that happened to me early on in my career is, of course, we were using the lint, and it was really fun to say, oh, that's made of lint, and that blew people's minds. But anyway, when I got into large mall sculpture, suddenly I was put upon by all sorts of federal regulations. Mm-hmm. One, it had to be fireproof. Two, it had to be waterproof. Three, they had to be still the lightweight materials, but they could not be harmful to any person or thing by touching them. And so I had to develop a new formula, which I did. And I started using linters from the cotton plant, beating our own pulps. We made them in circles and cast them that way in dyed colors because when you're going to sculpt with something, you don't want sharp contours. You want it to be easy to work with. And so we would make an armature of all sorts of different things. People used to laugh, what's that paper cup for? Oh, that's his nose. And it went from there. It was, if you walked by me with something, I usually would grab it and say, oh, that'll make a good arm, or et cetera. But so we used a lot of what we know now as insulation foam. But I had a foam machine, and actually the company that sold me the foam machine would send people from all over the United States to see what their foam could do because they were really surprised. We learned to sculpt with it.
Oh, that is so fabulous. That gives me a better idea of how the Fog Creations came to be. And I know you are a lifelong artist, and you've done so many collaborations in Muncie. Can you talk about
some of your favorites and some of the things you're doing now?
Well, one of the things that happened, because I had fog behind me, and with that success, financial as well as desirable success, which really surprised me as an artist. You know, as an artist, you get really excited. When I sold one pair of earrings, I thought, go home and make 100 right away. But anyway, I started out and opened what we called Artworks. And that became a co-op, an artist co-op. We started out with 25 artists, and they each had a space of their own. They each had to donate 2 days a week. And we began to start making artwork available to the public. It was amazing. People treasured that place. And also, one of the things that was quite wonderful is the local people began to support us. And when that happened, I knew that there was a need for a place to show artwork in this town. Mm-hmm. It was easy for Fogg to put in the lightings and pay the rent and so forth. But before long, the artists were paying the rent. And before long, I was able to walk away from managing it and let the group of artists manage it themselves. I'm very happy to say it did last for 10 years. I think Muncie is now ripe for another Artworks. In our downtown Muncie, as a matter of fact, I'm really after the Ball Foundation. I'm really after the Community Foundation. Let me tell you, people see me coming and they go, oh, she wants money for the arts. But yes, I do. And I do think it's time. Muncie's ripe again for a reoccurrence of a cooperative. I'm looking at empty buildings, and I'm talking to the owners of those empty buildings hard and fast. So far, nobody's bent, but I'm very tenacious.
I'm glad you are, because I know there are plenty of artists who would love to be part of such a co-op.
And need a place to show. Need a place to show. The community is so rich in this. Visual arts and they need to know where they can go to find these arts. You know, a person saying, hey, I work in my studio and it's my living room and da-da-da and I have this art. But the thing about it is, how do you buy it? Where can I find it? You know, I'm in charge of hanging the artwork at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, the hospital has been so good to us. They have allowed us to have the display piece. We've had that for 4 years. Right now, in fact, the foundation person just informed me that over the last 4 years, we've made over $30,000 in sales for the artist. Now, that isn't a lot in the business world of art. But at the same time, that has enabled at least artists within our community to sell their visual artwork.
Yes, and it shows you how much of a desire there is for local art.
And I think that 1,000 people pass that daily. And out of those 1,000 people, a lot of them, we have orders to send things to Chicago and Washington and all sorts of different places. It reminds me of when I was at Fogg. You know, the world is our oyster, and Muncie is right on the way to everywhere. We need to get after it.
We sure do. We spoke with Stephanie very recently, yes, the program director at Cornerstone. And what do you think about that space for something like you're talking about?
I have always been a big supporter. I mean, you know, Cornerstone for the Arts has been a cornerstone in Muncie.
Indeed.
And I'm going to be teaching there painting and printmaking and drawing and whatever else they want me to do, because I'm wonderful. Really behind them and want to get this program going. We have an interesting class that is on Tuesday mornings, which is called Open Studio. And that is of Stephanie's design. And the whole idea is that there will be me there, and I get to help people develop any of their skills that they might be interested in, whether it's oil painting or watercolor or printmaking or drawing or carving or whatever. it's kind of going to be good for me because it puts me back in that teaching mode, which I love very much. But at the same time, I think it gives a lot of freedom to the artists in the community.
Well, I have to mention your garb. You are wearing a beautiful outfit today. Not to change gears, but it's gorgeous. Pinks, oranges, and I notice a lovely necklace. Can you tell us about that a little?
Well, you know, I always say to people, my closet at Fog will go on me. I've always made my own clothes. Since I was a small child, I learned to make clothes on a Treadle Singer sewing machine. Now, that is very foreign to most people, but you worked it with your feet, and by moving your feet back and forth, the needle went up and down, and that's how I learned to make clothes. It was, unfortunately, I am alive, and not unfortunately, fortunately, I am still alive, but when I began making clothes, it was for my dolls, and we were after the war, and good fabrics were hard to find, but you could find scraps. So my dolls had wonderful clothes, but of course my costumes were really costumes, and the people at school looked at me askance, but I have always done that. And so when I started Fog and I had the ability, people would say, where did you get that? And I said, oh, I made it. And they said, why don't you sell your clothes? So I had a clothing line, yes. And people would fly into Indianapolis and come down to Muncie to have me create outfits for them, which was really fun. But as I said, that closet has still many of my clothes in it, and it will go on long beyond me. Lots of fun. So when you see me, you usually see me a little over the hill, but that's the way I like to dress.
Oh, that's wonderful. Is that one of the things in the open studio that someone could do, work on their sewing with you?
Of course.
Pattern making?
That would be really fun. My patterns were all made out of paper bags. Why can't theirs be?
So over the years, do you feel like your art has evolved with your experiences and the things you're doing?
Well, any artist, I don't care whether they're a poet or a writer or a musician, visual artist, any artist takes that atmosphere that they're surrounded by, that lifetime of gathering and seeing and doing and being, and they make a world as they see it. And so, of course, that's why we get the unusual things we do. That's another reason why I think AI will only be a help to us and not a hindrance, because I know how art is really created. And the way it's really created is there has to be that thought and feeling that changes your world. So, of course, my world has changed. Oh, my goodness, my world has changed so much over the years, and I'm so grateful for all the experiences I've had. I won't even start to bore you with some of those. They're wild and woolly. But the thing about it is, I do think that in looking at my age at this time, and the art I produce now has changed a great deal. Most of my work is done in painting. But I do feel that the richest part of what I have to share and give is in teaching. And that's interesting from the standpoint when I look at my work, I compare it to work that I've done in the past, and I go, not so good. But when I am with a person and teaching them and helping them develop their ideas, oh, really good.
Well, I think it's pretty exciting that people can take some classes with you. And we were talking about a space for people to create their art. Have you ever thought about, I've often thought maybe that Cornerstone and Mad Jacks could join forces and create some type of, I don't know, Uber space for arts.
I think that's really coming. All of the arts in Muncie need spaces and need places to work. But because we have two giant buildings sitting right next to each other, we need to make them work together and cooperate in any way we can.
That would be amazing. We could build like a physical bridge between the two. They're so close together.
Yes. And, you know, Cornerstone has developed a really fine maker's place. And so Magix doesn't need to repeat that, even though they call themselves the maker's place. But they have the space, such wonderful spaces that could be divided up. Now, of course, we've all got the problem of cost. And that's what we hope can be realized, that we don't need just the founding fathers or some dream maker that walks in and says, here's all the money in the world and we'll make you the little shops and do it. I think the artists can create them themselves, particularly if they're given the space. But that has to be worked out between the two buildings and how they can form those without destroying any of the money that needs to be made to keep those two buildings going. You know, it takes a lot to keep a big building going. And that's one of the things I realized when I was at Fogg, that suddenly I'd moved out of the comfort of my little studio and into owning a building. And that has to have a lot of overhead. And of course, the artist can generate monies to fill that if given the opportunity. It's right here. I think we have more ability to make money in the arts than we even realize.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do have some infrastructure already that some areas don't. And as you said, a wealth of artists.
Yes.
In our town.
And it's not so hard to make a business of art, and art the business.
Mm-hmm. Which I feel like you're definitely somebody who's figured that out. And I feel like that's something that artists are more interested in now than previously.
Yes.
You know, the whole idea of the artist not making money is not tenable, you know?
Well, you know, we've left the hippie. We've left the hippie times and we've moved on from that. We have realized that artists can be business people as well as visual people, and that they can learn how to promote their art, talk about their art, and sell their art. But they've got to be given a space and an opportunity to hang it and show it. I remember that this hasn't been so very long ago, but about 8 years ago at Magix, unfortunately, electricity went out. Who knows what or why in that whole big building. But you should have seen the number of people that were going through that art show with their own flashlights, holding up their phones with the flashlight on, looking at the artwork and buying it. It was a testament to the ability that we can do this.
Yes. Where there's a will, there's a way.
For sure. It's very important that we realize that we are on the cusp of bringing downtown Muncie, actually the Muncie community, I don't even have to say just downtown. The South is into it, the North is into it, the East and West are into it. Look out, trains, don't hold us up on the railroad track. We have art to make. But I really think that Muncie is at that point where a resurgence is happening. And of course, it's very interesting to look to the artists to bring that resurgence in. We're right on the way to every place. Let's make sure people come here and find us and are overjoyed and send others.
I would love for that to be the case. And I think we're all working towards that. And so happy that you're here working towards that, Anne. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Anne.
My pleasure.
Anne Johnson is the owner of former downtown Muncie arts business, FB Fogg.
You're listening to Pop of Culture. I'm Michelle Kinsey.
And I'm Kara Duquette. Every week, we ask an artist, what are you working on? This week, we're listening back to our interview with local musician Joshua Powell. I started by asking him how he got started in music.
I started playing in 2011 as Joshua Powell in The Great Train Robbery when I was a college student in Indiana. I grew up playing in punk and hardcore bands in a small town in South Florida. But then when I got to liberal arts season of my life, people handed me a flannel shirt and said, "We listen to Wilco now." you get to college and you got to do Radiohead homework. And so I did that. Started this band out of the dissolution of another attempt at an indie rock band. Just playing under my own name now. But I've been doing it ever since I graduated full time. We've done almost 1,000 shows now in 43 states and 3 countries. And the music has evolved and portal hopped across genres in a lot of different incarnations. But it began in sort of like a down-home folk rock sort of neighborhood. And then we took a turn for the indie rock, and then we took a turn for the psychedelic, and now we're making a heavy album, which I don't know what people are going to do with it, but I never know what they're going to do with it until I put it out there.
I love the idea of portal genre hopping. That's great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
So can you talk to us a little bit about, you said your music has evolved and you're in the heavier zone, and yeah. I think I read something about metalcore. Can you talk about what that is?
Isn't it so funny? Like just genres in general, just like what is it? Is it rock or is it classic rock now? Like how old is it? What's the vintage of this? Or, you know, the funniest, I mean, in EDM, don't even, you know, tell somebody like, "Oh, I like that techno music." You're going to get punched in the face by a raver. It's like, this isn't techno. This is drum and bass. You primate, you Philistine, this is IDM. And no one is worse at that crap than heavy music fans. Metal people will be like, "What do you mean that's brutal technical death metal? That's obviously technical brutal death metal."
opened a can of worms.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a can that I'm so deep into, like a Pringles can. Like I can't get my fist out because I'm trying to figure out how to market this crap. And I mean, I think the music that we're making really, I might even be shooting myself in the foot by trying to reach out to metal audiences, because our thesis is making this album like, well, let's make metal for people who think they don't like metal. And be like, well, I don't listen to that stuff. And it's like, well, but try this out, because we still have an attention to top line melody and the aesthetic sensibilities that make pop music shiny. We want to bring that in and make a low threshold of accessibility. I still want to go, yeah, on a breakdown sometimes. But, you know, like Linkin Park changed the world by like bringing some of those sounds into the mainstream. And Linkin Park had radio hits where Chester's yelling his face off. So to answer your actual question, metalcore is great because everyone hates it together. metal people hate it because it's not brutal enough, and then hardcore people hate it because it's not so punk. It's taking the sing-song anthemic choruses of the metal, but then combining them with yelling and breakdowns. And you put it all together, it's just like a spiritual pummeling. It makes me feel good.
So I think people might like a spiritual pummeling, right?
I hope so. I hope I find those people. Come be in my weird church.
Well, are you working on an album right now?
Yes. Yes, we are halfway through our next LP that will be released in 2025 on Romanus Records. We're working on the 6th song right now. I think there's going to be 10.
Well, when you say they're not done, like they're not recorded, or is everything written?
It's all written.
Like, how does that happen? How do you write a song? Like, how does that happen for you?
Yeah, great cue. It has definitely changed a lot over the years. It's different now more so than it ever has been, because primarily, historically, I would sort of orchestrate every instrument in the arrangement, and then if I couldn't play it myself, hire someone to play that part. But pretty much I would imagine the song realized and then have people execute the vision. Now, about the same time that I dropped the band name, Great Train Robbery, and just like, I'm just Joshua Powell, it's just me out here, let's not, you know, have any Bones
Train Robbery.
Yeah, right. It's just, oh gosh, too. And it's such a folky name, right? And it's also a whole short story of a name to try to yell at somebody over a dive bar din. But now, about the same time I was like, I'm really a solo artist, we became a band by accident. Like, we really locked in with the, my brother Jacob, joined back up, and he sings harmonies and plays drums like a god. And then Josh Townsend is like the greatest bass player in all galaxies combined. And, he's been with me for like 8 or 9 years or something, which is insane. So now, basically, I will do that same, I'll make a demo on my laptop and go, this is the idea. Imagine like this. It's a sketch, right? But then I work really hard to not get married to any of those things, because I trust Jacob and Josh more than I've ever trusted any other artistic collaborators. So when I show them, I'm like, I don't know, it's something like this maybe. They'll be like, yeah, but wouldn't it be cooler if we chopped this and if we reimagined this? And so I take the demo, I show them the demo, we all get in the garage rehearsal space and spend a day or two hacking at the pieces and reconstructing it, and then going and recording it. And there's still fun parts too after we get the rhythm bed recorded, because once we've played guitar, bass, and drums, we all sit around for another couple days plunking out weird stuff on synthesizers or finding samples to cut in and doing all the sound design and post-production, that the Easter eggs that make it like a rich and cinematic texture that you can get a lot of like re-listen value to. It's like, oh, I never heard that little coin sound in there before. We hide a lot of coins in our music. Ba-ding!
That one was overt. I wanted to ask you, when you say that, are the songs related in the album, or are they?
Yes, okay. Yes. Do you want a hot drop? Do you want some news on the radio that hasn't been announced in official capacities?
Joshua, yes.
Okay. The album that's coming out in 2025 on Romanus Records is called Becoming a Witch. That's the thesis. It's an album about penumbras. It's about thinking that something is one thing when it's not. People have a connotation with magic that it's evil. Magic is not evil. Magic is all-encompassing, good and evil, light and dark. It's alchemical thinking that predates many of the religions that we subscribe to today. So it's not a freaking thesis. I'm not trying to prove anything or change anybody's mind, but it is songs that share in common a sense of recognition of your own agency, believing that, you know, if we live in a system that's comprised of energy and we become conscious of that, then we have the agency to be able to manipulate that energy, and that's magic power. When I realized that for myself, that's pretty much all I could think about for the rest of my life. And music is magic as well. The fact that you can take art, you can create something from nothing, and then it can go affect somebody else in a powerful way. That's spellcraft, baby.
That's really cool. I like that. I like your, I don't know, your vibe, the way you talk about things and the way you blend music together, and talking about the penumbras, right? The gray areas, the places where we can insert ourselves and like what we love and make magic.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
All right. Well, thanks. I'm glad you're vibing with it.
Well, can you tell us where we can find you online and listen to some of this?
For sure. Joshua Powell Music is the handle on all social media. Get me on that TikTok, kids. I love TikTok. I'm on Instagram the most. Facebook, those are all Joshua Powell Music. And then, I mean, Spotify, please stream, put it on repeat while you dream. I need those 75 cents. I'm not actually complaining. I don't care where people stream it. I just want them to know the words and sing them to me back at the shows.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. Yeah.
That's magic, baby.
Well, we really appreciate you being here with us today.
Thank you for having me in. This is so fun.
Oh, Kara, it is time for the arts calendar. Why don't you kick us off?
That sounds great. Black History Month celebration kickoff is Saturday, February 1st at Minnetrista Museum and Gardens in Muncie. Join the Martin Luther King Jr. Dream Team for activities, history, and culture, beginning at 9 a.m.
The Anderson Museum of Art is hosting Mystery at the Museum, beginning January 31st and running for 6 nights through February 15th. The mystery has a rad, totally awesome 80s theme. AndersonArt.org is the place to go to reserve your spot.
That is so much fun. I went last year.
Oh.
And this year, totally 80s.
Yes.
Totally fun. Awesome. Beginning this weekend, Ball State's Department of Theater and Dance will present its Spring Short Plays series. The Spring Short Plays series will include 3 one-act plays running in rotation through February 8th. Plays include This Property is Condemned and Summer at the Lake, both by Tennessee Williams. Check bsu.edu/theater for more info.
For those about to rock this weekend, we salute you. An AC/DC and Black Sabbath tribute concert is set for Friday, January 31st at the Paramount Theater in Anderson.
Nice. The Meltdown Winter Ice Festival is so cool.
Oh, I see what you did there.
And it's this weekend in Richmond. Professional ice carvers and artists transform over 20,000 pounds of ice into amazing ice sculptures throughout Richmond's city center. This festival is on through Saturday, February 1st, and closes out with a Meltdown Throwdown.
Love that name.
Competition between sculptors and fireworks.
I mean,
love fireworks.
Ice and fireworks?
Yes.
Quite the combo.
Go to richmondmeltdown.com for more details.
February 6th is First Thursday in downtown Muncie. Enjoy new exhibits at galleries and shops, browse the maker booths at Cornerstone, and much more from 5 to 8 p.m.
Also on February 6th, the Ball State Symphony Orchestra will perform at Sursa Performance Hall. The music begins at 7:30 p.m. and will feature the music of Dvorak.
If you have an event Pop of Culture listeners need to know about, tell us at indianapublicradio.org/contact, then select Pop of Culture.
Pop of Culture on IPR is made possible in part by Psi Iota Xi. Additional support comes from the Indiana Arts Commission, the Community Foundation of Randolph County, the National Endowment for the Arts, and sustaining members of IPR. You can support local programming today at indianapublicradio.org.
And that's our show. This episode was produced by Luke Jones, who is constantly stopped by trains on the way to make art. It has nothing to do with waking up on time. It's the trains, really. Our show was hosted by me, Michelle Kinsey.
And me, Kara Duquette. Pop of Culture is a production of IPR on the campus of Ball State University.
What did you have for breakfast this morning? Are you a breakfast person?
I usually am. I had 3 cups of coffee.
Hell
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
Usually I have 2 eggs with that.
Yep.
Yep.
And I understand. Oh.